Praise God. How's everybody feeling? You know, I want to pray and ask God for some kind of award to give you guys for coming out in this cold weather. I mean, it's funny though, you know, like if some artists were at a particular club tonight and people had tickets, you know they're going to still show up, right? They pay for those tickets, they'll stand on the line long around the block to get in. So to see y'all here in this cold night, come into the house of God as though it's special to you, I just want to pray and ask God for a special blessing on your lives for that. Father, we just thank you for this day. We thank you for the opportunity you give us to come together and fellowship one with another. We thank you for the songs that were sung, the testimonies given, God. Thank you for allowing us to see how good you are. God, I pray and I thank you for everyone that came out tonight. I ask for a special blessing upon their lives, Lord. I ask that you continuously give them a persevering heart that will move in the direction that pleases you, God, and that nothing would ever stop them from serving you, Lord. Give them that heart, Lord, that will stand up for you regardless to who's standing for you around them. And God, I ask that you move mightily in their lives and in their families' lives. Be glorified now in your servant as we come before you, God, to speak of your goodness. Be glorified, Lord. Let your words be spoken and not mine. Let your thoughts be manifested and not mine, God. And help me move out of the way that you may be glorified. In the name of your Son, Jesus the Christ, we pray. Amen. Amen. I'm feeling excited. I brought flames of fire in my heart. So if you're not on fire for God, maybe you'll be on fire after the word is finished. Now, for my title for tonight is something that we've even had in the song sung earlier, which is simple. God is good. That's the title of my message for tonight. God is good. Now, you would think that it should not have to have any explanation behind that, but the truth of the matter is that a lot of us say it, but sometimes we don't really have that registered in our hearts because of the way we live. We live as though God is not good, but we're going to make it clear tonight that God is good. Psalms 100, verse 5, chapter 100 in the fifth verse, and it reads, "The Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations." Now, if we were to dissect and take a good look at God with a magnifying glass and just actually go into the book of Genesis and just kind of look at what he did in the beginning, the book of principles, the book of beginnings, we would see that he created that which was good, and he even spoke about it. And seven times you see the word good mentioned there before it gets to chapter 2. In fact, after he made man, he said, after looking at everything he did, after making man and woman, he says that it was very good. And we know the story as it goes on that Eve was deceived and Eve gave the fruit to her husband Adam and he was also deceived. And things begin to take a bad turn because they ate of the tree that God said not to eat from. Bad started to descend upon the earth. But when you look at what God did, he set the earth in such a way that there was no need for clothing. Can you imagine what temperature that could have been? Food was there. There was no tilling of the ground. There was no planting of seeds. There was just walking up and picking your meal, your breakfast, your lunch, your dinner. We just want to take a good look at God. That's what we're doing. There was everything he had to drink. And the only time that God said something wasn't good after he said that everything was good was that man should not be alone. That's when God said that's not good. So now we have a family. We have food. We have provision. We have temperatures. We're talking a vacation. No, it wasn't a vacation. It was life. And after you look at the picture that God painted and gave to Adam and said, just don't eat of this tree right here. Just don't eat of that. If you look at everything that God gave to Adam and Eve, which was you and me, everything he gave us, you have to come to the conclusion that God is good. And the serpent comes and he deceives. And what the devil does there, he does the same thing now. You see, this is what he does. He gets you to believe that what is good is bad. And what is bad is good. And that's what he did to Eve when he spoke those words. He said that, he said, surely hath God said? Knowing that God said that. He said, surely hath God said? And he tried to make the words of God bad. And to get Adam, to get Eve to look at what God said in a different manner. So Eve began to register what the devil said to her through the serpent. She began to register it. Okay, wait a minute. Maybe this is really good that the serpent is telling me. Happens all the time, even nowadays. That which is bad is called good. And if Satan can allow you to believe that that which is bad is good, then you will go and act on that belief, which is what she did. It goes, the same applies today. The same applies today. But I want you to understand, even in verse chapter 145 of the book of Psalms, when it talks about who God is good to, it says this in the ninth verse of chapter 145, it says, the Lord is good to all, and his tender mercies are over all his works. So if you're having any, if you're confused about whether God is good to you or not, the Bible says he's good to all. Now, I know some may be listening and saying, well, you know what? I haven't been dealt a great deck of cards, a great hand, because, you know, I've been through this, I've been through that as a kid. My parents are this way, and I had this going on in my life, and I don't know why God let this happen. Listen, God has been good to you. Things may not have all been gravy in your life, and there have been times when we encounter things that had nothing to do with us that may have been a bad encounter, but it doesn't mean that God was not good to you. Because sometimes we do suffer for things of our parents. Sometimes that does happen. But God is good. You're here now. If you're listening to me now, if you're sitting in your seat, if you are alive and well and healthy, then God has been good to you. And it shouldn't take tons of proof for you to come to that conclusion. In Exodus chapter 34, the Lord is speaking to Moses, and he's about to write on the tablets again because Moses broke the first commandment out of his anger. But I just want to glean on something that the Lord says about himself. Exodus chapter 34, verse 6, and the Lord passed by before him, meaning Moses, and proclaimed, the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abundant in goodness and truth. Abundant in goodness and in truth. Now, the reason why I spent that much time really wasn't too long, but a reason why I tried to spend a lot of time on the fact that God is good and he is filled with goodness, and the Bible proclaims that his goodness is all throughout the earth, is because the devil uses what makes us feel good and what looks good and what sounds good to make us think that it is good. But I need you to understand, just because something looks good doesn't mean that it is good. Just because it sounds good doesn't mean that it is good. Just because it tastes good, it feels good, it doesn't mean that it is good. You know, I could take my back up on a pole, and if my back is itching in a particular place where I'm having a problem scratching it, I can go up against a pole and I can just kind of rub it and rub it and rub it and rub it and remove the itch and satisfy it. And I could stay there long enough and start to move it some more and say to myself, wait a minute, this feels kind of good, but do I start to date a pole? Do I begin to talk to a pole? Do I begin to just stay there and see that pole on a regular basis? Now, it sounds funny, but that's what we do. As soon as something feels good, if something could make you feel good, you begin to just kind of savor that moment. You begin to kind of say, wow, this is good. But in all actuality, just because something makes you feel good doesn't mean that that's good. You have people all the time making people feel good for the wrong reasons. And sometimes people get that which can confuse with feeling good as being good, and they'll say to themselves, you know what? He loves me. You know what? She loves me. You know what? This group of people right here really care about me. Look what they just did. Look how they embrace me into their gang, into their cliques, into their little posses. Look how they're embracing me. Look how they're saying that they have my back. They're making me feel good with words. This has to be good. No. God is good. God is good alone, and everything that is permissible by God is good. And that which is not permissible by God isn't good. That's what we need to understand tonight. Because God did not design me to date a pole. Neither does he design a man to be with a man. Neither does he design a woman to be with a woman. Regardless of what you think you may make the other person feel and how the other person makes you feel, God is good and his ways are good. So if it's of God, then it's good. You understand? The reason why you need to understand is because, listen, good has no expiration date. Good will never expire. If it's good today, it'll be good 20 days from now, 20 years from now, 1,000 years from now. You can look upon that same particular act. You can stand in front of God with it and both remember the act. And if it was good that day, it'll be good right in front of God. We need to understand that because too many times we say, oh, I had a good time. No, what you meant to say was I had a pleasurable time in my flesh. Oh, we get drunk. We go to clubs. We grind. We move. We do all this stuff. Oh, I had a good time. No, you didn't. You didn't have a good time. You enjoyed yourself. It was pleasurable because the Bible says there is pleasure in sin, but it wasn't good. Because if it was good, you don't have to fear God for that which is good. You never have to fear God for that which is good. Yes, it's possible a man and a woman can get together and make each other feel good. Yes, God designed for a man to have sex with a woman. Yes, it was God's plan. It is the acclamation. It is the highlight expression of love between a marriage. That's why, that marriage. But what happens when people don't get married and they can still make each other feel good? Is it good? No. Can it feel good? Does it mean that it is good because it feels good? Amen. The reason why you need to leave here knowing that because the devil is only going to constantly offer you that which feels good, that which looks good, that which sounds good. But ask the devil, can I stand in front of God with this very same thing that they're offering me? Watch him leave. Too many times we get deceived. I was deceived. You couldn't tell me that to just have many relationships and have lots of money and have power. You couldn't tell me that wasn't good, but it wasn't good. It wasn't good. Because when you cut good in half, when you slice it, when you look at it, the only thing you'll be able to see all through it is God. Because God is good. And you cannot have have good without God. It is impossible. It is impossible. But that's what happens even to the backslider. When the backslider leaves God, the backslider is leaving that which is good. When humanity says, I want nothing to do with God, what they're saying is, I want nothing to do with good. So when servants of God are martyred, it's because not that the servant themselves was personal, but the servant represents that which is God, and the servant represents that which is good. In humanity, the lost nature of man just wants to satisfy the flesh. And that's what Satan uses to encourage man to stay in this flesh. Listen, I can please you this way. Listen, I can please you that way. Listen, I can do this and make you feel good this way. Listen, I can cause you to take this thing, inhale it, just inhale it, just inhale it. Forget about what it'll do to your body. Forget about the damages. I'm trying to make you feel good. That's the voice of the devil. He uses that which causes you to feel good. Be careful, sisters, of a man who just wants to touch you and try to make you feel good. Tell that brother in a minute, listen, I don't just want to feel good. I want what is good for me. And then, yes, it may eventually lead to feeling good. But it doesn't necessarily have to start that way. As a matter of fact, if it starts that way, that's not good at all. Because that's not God at all. Amen? I mean, the message seems simple, but I was told by God to drive these points home to you. Because this way you'd leave here with an understanding of the fact that not only is God good, but everything that is of God is good. Even when you listen to music, music which carries messages has the tendency just to plant seeds, because that's what words are. They're containers of messages planted into the minds of humans. And those seeds give birth. Those seeds spring forth into actions that are not necessarily good or bad, but they, depending on the seed that was planted, that gives roots. That's why Satan uses music, which sounds good, and he loads it up with lies. Loads it up with lies, so that by the time you move your shoulders and you're dancing and you're feeling good with a bunch of lies implanted into you. But the music sounds good and you don't turn it off because he makes it sound so good. You got to remember, he was in charge of the choir at one time or another. So that's his biggest tool, music. Putting those evil seeds and lies into you, teaching you how you should move your body, teaching you how you should wear clothes, how you should have cleavage shown, how you should have pants and dresses and everything tight, how you should live, how you should conduct yourselves. Seeds. And music, that sounds good. So you'll never be able to say there's something wrong with it. But that's what he does. He disguises himself. Jesus said he beheld Satan as a light fallen from heaven, an angel of light fallen from heaven. That which was once beautiful, appealing to the eyes. He knows how to bring something to you to make you say, wow. But you need to also look at it through and through and examine it and say, listen, is this good for me? Bring that thing which the devil is bringing and offering to you. Put it up against the word of God. This is how you will find out or not if it's from God or not. That's why if you don't read the Bible, it is easy to deceive you, because you have no truth to stand on. And the devil can tell you, the devil will easily give you a wrong description of God. God's not mad with you. God loves you. He loves you the way that you are. And that way could be something perverted. God made you this way. No, he didn't. We'd all be that way if he did. You hear all the lies, but you need this truth to understand what God wants and what he doesn't want. It is the standard. It is the standard. But what we want to also remember is this. The Bible says in Isaiah chapter 5, verse 20, woe unto them who call good evil and evil good. Woe unto them. Why woe? Because it is a terrible day of judgment for that person to say that that which is evil is really good. And that which is good is really evil. Because what you're doing is you're telling God that he is not good when you call something good evil. And you're trying to take that which is perverted, that which is of the devil, that which Satan has deemed right, which is only sinful. You're taking that which is destructive. Sin leads to death. You can't ever call sin good. It'll kill you. It'll destroy you physically and condemn you eternally. That's what sin does. So is it worth it? Is it worth it? Too many times Satan reduces the world to being creatures of pleasure only. And that's why even at the workplace, you can't wait to people can't wait to Friday. They can't wait for happy hours. They're constantly trying to feel good, to enjoy themselves. And let me tell you something, there's nothing wrong with feeling good. And that's one of the other lies that Satan has placed into the minds of mankind, is that God Almighty can't make you feel good. You cannot have a good time with God. That's a lie. How in the world can you not have a good time with God when God is good? You haven't tried to have a good time with God. You can have such a good time in prayer, somebody can nudge you and try to move you from prayer, and you say, leave me alone, I'm having a good time with God in my prayer closet, just me and God, intimate with God, and I don't want to leave this place. Some of you know what I'm talking about. God is good. Listen, not only is God good, but God wants you. I'm going to tell you this before the devil tells you, I already know he told you, but God wants you also to feel good. But he doesn't want you to live your life based on your feelings. Because there's sometimes you're not going to feel good. You're not. But does that change who God is? Has God ever ceased from being good? Was there any time in life? Listen, every single soul in hell, God was good to them. Those who are condemned right now, eternally, God was good to every single one of them. You say, why are they in hell? Well, if you read the book of Genesis, when God told Adam and Eve not to eat of this tree, and they ate of it, they brought sin and death on humanity. Now, somebody may say, well, wait a minute, if God was good, why wouldn't he just forgive them? He did forgive them. They didn't ever even ask for forgiveness. They ran from God. If you read the story, they tried to put clothes of fig trees on themselves, to cover their shames, and God took care, he took care of all. He pronounced a judgment on them, yes. But if you read the Bible, read it. If you read Genesis, after he pronounced judgment, he took care of Adam and Eve. Only one he didn't take care of was the serpent. So even after God kept his word, listen, if God didn't do that, you know what would happen? If God didn't punish Adam and Eve, you know that we couldn't trust God. Because God, that means God says something and he doesn't do what he says. He's not trustworthy then. We're in trouble. We have no stability, no strong foundation. We have nothing to be 100% sure of. So he has to punish sin. But look how God is. With the punishment, he had a lamb. He had some form of sacrifice right there in the book of Genesis, waiting to clothe and to cover human beings who didn't even ask God for forgiveness. Is he good or not? How good is he? Sometimes I cry and I weep at the fact that it took so long for me to come to a good God. And it's so funny because there's been times when I say to myself, what was it that I was looking at that caused me not to go to God? And now I begin to look at it and I start crying some more. Oh my God, that which kills me. I was embracing the things that was could destroy me and saying no to a good, holy God. Is anybody doing that in here? Anybody watching anything? Listening to anything that's not good? Saying no to God, which means you're saying no to good? You know the funny thing about human beings, the sinful nature of man? This is what bothers me about us. It's fallen nature. When we say no to God, we say no to good, right? Now, when we leave, because that's already established, no God, no good. We want good somewhere else. That's the thing that bothers me. We want good. We want to feel good. We want to smell good. We want to look good. We want good to happen to us left and right, up and down, when we leave God. And do you know that God in his goodness, you know what he does? Do you know that when you turn, sometimes people turn their back on God, God follows them? My God, oh my God, he follows them. The Bible says the goodness of the Lord leads to repentance. God says, I know what has to happen. There's a few little things that has to take place in this person's life because they don't believe that I'm really good. They don't believe that I'm loved. They don't believe that I care for them. They don't believe me. Oh, my God, help us, God. Oh, God, help us see how good you are, God. And Satan has succeeded in causing us to believe the lies. But God in his goodness knows how to take us and how to remove that lie and how to plant that seed of truth into your soul. And when it's believed, you begin to look at the devil and say, you're a liar. Be removed from my heart. Be removed from my mind. Be removed from everything of me. You want nothing good for me. You are a liar. And then you begin to live a life that Jesus says was more abundantly. Because chains need to be removed off of your hands. Shackles are all over your feet and all over your mind. Chains that you can't see, making you do things that you should not do only because you believe that God is not good. The devil is good. And what the devil has to offer me is good. That's my message for tonight, for 2014. God is good, and his mercy endureth forever. And if you believe that God is good, live like you know that God is good. You say, well, Mark, I'm not perfect. Good, that's okay. Bring that to God. He's good. Say, God, I'm not perfect. I need help. I want to listen to things that I should not listen to. God, help me. And God is good enough to help you. You say, God, Mark, I want to have sex. I already had sex outside of marriage. I'm open now. It feels good, Mark. What are you talking about? Stop and wait till I'm married. It feels good. No, go to God and say, God, is this thing wrong? If it's wrong, help me stop doing it, God. And he will, because God is good. There's nothing, nothing you can say, no place that you can be in the depths of sin where God, as good as he is, can't help you. So what? What does that mean? We're without excuse. The homosexual, he's without excuse. She's without excuse. The gangster, the blood, the crip, they're without excuse. The corrupt politician, he's without excuse. Why? Because God is good. The goodness of the Lord leads to repentance. He was good to Adam and Eve. If you look at it closely, you'll see, you'll get a good description of the character of God just in chapter 1 and chapter 2 and chapter 3. You'll get such a good description of God that you will have to drop on your knees and say, God, you are good. just from the three chapters, the first three chapters of Genesis, you'd have to conclude that. You'd have to say if he was good to them, he'd have to be good to me. If he clothed them, if he forgave them, he will forgive me. He will clothe me. Tonight, I want to ask that if you're not in right standing with a good and holy God, that you get in right standing with a good and holy God. If their lies have been planted, they've already been uprooted right now. Why? Because the word of God has challenged every single lie that was already planted in you. It has already been challenged by the word of God tonight concerning the goodness of God. And so God is saying now that the minds have been loaded and planted with that which is true, that which is of God. Let's go on and continue to live our lives together. Because that was God's original plan. That man and God would walk the earth together. He's so big. God is so huge that each and every one of us can have our own personal daily relationship with him and travel the entire world at different times, at the same time with God. And no one shortchanged. Oh, I didn't have enough God. So-and-so was praying too much. Took up all the time. Not possible. Not possible. That's how big he is. One big, huge family. Every single. You are never without access to God. Stand to your feet, please. No more lies believed concerning who he is and how he is. He doesn't expire. His goodness doesn't expire. No expiration date on the goodness of God, on that which is good. Even thoughts that are not good, examine, throw away. Thoughts lead to actions. If you don't get rid of them, the thought will lead to an action. Don't let seeds be planted in your mind that are not good just because the music sounds good. No, I don't care how fancy the beat, the sound, the guitar, the drum. I don't care how cool and suave the artist may seem. Is he saying that which is good, or is he all dressed up? Is it possible that he's all dressed up, that all the sounding of what is good and what looks good, can it all be just a plot to destroy me? Oh, yes. And sometimes, and sometimes, all of the time, the artist doesn't even know he's being used by the devil, animated by demons. So as the music begins to play, the altar call is going to be made, and I want to pray with every single person in here who wants to, for the first time, get right with the good God. The altar is going to be opened up, and I want you to come on down. And we're going to pray together. And those of you who are already in right standing with God, we're going to also pray together. And we're going to connect with a good and holy and righteous God. We're going to begin to love him back, because love has always come from him to us, always. It never ceased. Now love is going to begin to come from us back to God. That's what he wants. The altars is open. Just come. Start walking down. Come. Because he's good. He's good. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. You know, I just want to say that I don't want you to think that I'm some polished Christian who's never been in anything, never been through anything. I was a drug dealer in these streets for many years. Sold a lot of drugs, made a lot of money, sold drugs in different states. I know what it is to just hit the club scene. I know what it is to walk around, you know, thinking you're the man and drive whatever kind of car I want and have a certain kind of power behind that. Listen, I was sold a bag of goods, a bag of lies that I believed. I was made to believe that that lifestyle that I was going after, that that was good. But you know, one day while I was in prison, federal prison, you know, the Lord opened up my eyes and he showed me that he's good. The Bible says, taste and see that the Lord, he is good. And that's when I got right with God while I was in jail. Some of you know my testimony. And that's why I'm on fire for God right now, because I've already tasted and seen that he's good. It's to death. I don't have any other, there's nothing in the world to turn to. If any of you have any hard times believing that, just ask me when you see me, ask me. Ask me about the riches of the world. Ask me about the tons of pleasure that the devil can offer you. Ask me about, I'll tell you, it's not worth it. I'll tell you the price that you have to pay. I'll tell you how good God is. I'll tell you that he is so powerful. He's so merciful. He sits on the mercy seat in heaven waiting for you. Waiting for you. Waiting for you to show that he's good. Amen. So we're going to pray. And those of you who gave your, given your lives to Christ for the first time tonight, you're making this first step toward ongoing, everlasting relationship with your Creator, Jesus the Christ. We're going to pray with you right now, first and foremost. And I want you to repeat the words after me, because we're going to pray it together. All you need to do, which you've already done, is get your heart right with God. Broken, open, honest, bare. Get right with God. That's what's happening right now. He's here. He's right here, right now, here. He's here. He ordained this. Not me, not you, not the pastors, no preachers, no none of the musicians. God Almighty ordained this day that you and him would get to know each other. Yep. This is God's doing. Repeat after me. Lord Jesus, I love you. Lord Jesus, I need you. I believe that you died for me, that you paid the price for my sins, because I could not pay them for myself. I believe that if I have faith in you, I will be saved. I can be made right with God by faith in you. Lord Jesus, save me. Lord Jesus, forgive me. Lord Jesus, heal me. Fix everything broken. Be my Savior. Be my Lord. In Jesus' name. Amen. Now, I just want to say a prayer also for those of you who, you know, maybe you feel guilty about violating God in such a way that it just bothers you, and you're here because you just have that repentant heart. I want to pray for you right now also. It's a serious time. It's a beautiful time right now. This is a powerful time. Father God, I just thank you for what you've done. I thank you for every person that came to the altar tonight, God. I pray, dear God, that you build them up in such a way, Lord, that you would smile over their lives. Fill them with your Holy Spirit, God, and dwell with them. That you would be our people, and that we would be your people, and that you would be our God. Dwell among them, God, by your Spirit, Lord. Fill them, saturate them, God, with your Holy Spirit, that they may smile and rejoice just knowing who you are, fearing nothing or no one, because they know that you are with them. Showing them daily how good you are. God, help them, Father. Give them a backbone to stand up for you, Lord, and to put things down in their lives that you convict them of, God. Give them a backbone to do it without hesitation. God, give them a backbone.
backbone to serve you without the fear of man, without the pressure of their peers. God, strengthen every single soul underneath the sound of my voice and do it for your glory, God, that you may be magnified in each and every life. And this I pray because you said we could have whatsoever we ask, we receive, because we do those things that are pleasing in your sight. And we ask this in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ.